Well, again, good morning, and it is good to see each of you here. You will notice the title of today's sermon is Body, Spirit, and Soul. And this is one of those sermons that I'm sure some of you will feel like I'm meddling. Some of you may think maybe a bit uncomfortable by what we have to say today. And if so, good. We need occasionally to feel a bit uncomfortable, myself included. And this morning, I want us to look at the difference between our bodies, our spirit, our soul, all of those component parts of who we are, and how we ought to react, how we ought to respond, how we ought to treat each of them. There are a couple of scriptures, and I'll read the first one. There's a couple printed on the back of your bulletin, I think, I hope. Yes. We'll go through John 3, 1 through 6 first. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Then in Romans chapter 8, verses 1 through 5, we read, There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. May God add to the reading of His Scripture. As most of you know, those who know me very well at all know that I was raised, born and raised in a very rural area in western Arkansas, Fush Valley, Arkansas, to be exact. And in my high school class, there were 20 students of those five girls and roughly 15 boys. Yeah, the girls were really popular with that many boys. But two of those girls that I went to school with my entire pre-college schooling were identical twins. They looked identical. They were the same height. They had the same hair color. They had the same eyes. They had the same voice. They had the same everything. They were genetically identical twins. They were both brilliant, and I guess they got that genetically also. They were twins in that way. Two of the smartest young people I've ever known. One of them was valedictorian, the other was, or they were actually co-valedictorians of our class. They were also the top 10%. When there's 20 students, you have two. Kind of eliminates the rest of us, right? One of them made a surgeon, and she actually worked at Wilson and Jones for a period of time. Brother David Taylor knew her when she worked there. The other made a corporate lawyer and a very successful lawyer. I think now she has three or four offices scattered around Arkansas. Very intelligent people, and as I say, identical. But I promise you, if I met one of them on the street tomorrow, I could immediately tell you which one it is. How would I do that, you say? They have a different spirit. Flesh and blood and genetics is one thing. But the spirit of a person is a completely different matter. They're both good people, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying one's good and one's bad. They're both very good people, but they are different. They do not have the same identity. And having raised three sons who are not identical, I can tell you, I think if we had 20, every one of them would be different. Because human beings are composed, I believe, of three elements. We are composed of this body, we are composed of a spirit, and we have a soul. And we will look at each of those three. And you say, wait, spirit and soul is the same thing. No, it's not. There is a difference. If you look at Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, it says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of man." So we have all three of these elements in our lives, and I want us to try to get a handle on all of them. We're going to start with the flesh. That's kind of the easy one. Our bodies are part of this world, and they are subject to the laws of this world. And we all kind of get that. I think especially as you start getting older, you realize that my body is subject to the laws of nature. Everyone, physically, our bodies, like everything else in this world, they grow, they mature, they begin to decline, and eventually they die. That is a natural cycle that occurs for every single human being on earth. I am no different, and neither are you. You know, I see on television, I'm sure you see the ads everywhere now, where there are a million different ways that we can combat aging. And that's good. We ought to do that, I guess. We can buy things and we can, a lot of people have surgeries of different kind. In fact, I worked with a lady that had a few too many of those. She couldn't quit smiling. Her face was so tight, right? We try to do that to avoid aging. But you know what? It's going to happen anyway. If we are fortunate enough to be on this earth long enough, nature is going to start taking its course and our bodies are going to begin to age and we eventually will die. It's happened to everyone and it will happen. Even the people that Jesus raised from the dead eventually died. If they had not, we'd have 2,000-year-old people walking around here, and we don't, right? Everyone on this earth will go through this process. But in the meantime, we need to take care of our bodies as best we can. And the reason for that is they don't belong to us. Let me say that again. Our bodies do not belong to us. 1 Corinthians 6, chapter 6, verses 19 and 20 says, "What, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." I don't own this body. I have been given this body as a place for my soul and spirit to reside, but it isn't mine. It is God's. And it is my wife's. It's God's by birth, and it is my wife's by marriage. You know, I gave myself to her, and she gave herself to me. Every time my daughter-in-law, Allison, whom I love dearly, cuts my hair, she does a wonderful job. As soon as I go home, my wife gets out these little clippers and she starts cutting the hair in my ears and my eyebrows, et cetera, et cetera. Used to annoy me to no end. I would fidget and squirm and, do we have to do this? She would always say, "You've got one wild hair." And I said, "Yeah, and you've been after it for five decades nearly." You know. But one day I realized, this is her body. And as long as she wants to do things to make it look better, I'll stand right there and let her do it. Now, we're not going to do purple hair and ponytails or something, and I know she wouldn't do that. But my body doesn't really belong to me. It belongs to God, and it belongs to my wife. I am charged with caring for it. I need to feed it. I need to take care of it. A bit of pastoral guidance. This is where you're going to think I'm meddling. Take care of your body. Bathe regularly. Eat properly. Avoid drugs and substances that will harm your health. Exercise. Do the right thing. Because as I say, it's not your body. And when you go around dirty, smelly, looking foul, looking like there is something wrong with you, you're representing God. If you're a Christian and you are not taking care of yourself to the world, that's a problem. You and I need to take care of ourselves. We need to be clean. I go to Walmart when I absolutely have to, and only when I have to. But I am amazed to see people there sometimes in their pajamas in the middle of the day. They don't ever seemingly, I guess, get up and bathe and dress up and fix up and what have you. They go through life filthy. Don't do that. Take care of yourself. Be clean. Because this body is a living sacrifice, you ought to do your best to make sure it is holy and acceptable. Romans 12:1 says, I beseech ye, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. We need to keep our bodies holy because it is our sacrifice to God. That is what we ought to do. Well, okay, I'm done meddling about telling you to stay clean and not use drugs, etc., but I think that is a very serious theological thing, and we need to do that. Number two, the spirit. We are more than just a physical body. We have a spirit inside of us. And I think in a lot of ways that spirit is such a much greater thing than the physical body. I could exercise and I can do a lot of things. I don't as often as I should, but I could, and I could build up my body and it would be great. And that's not a bad thing. But if I build my spirit, that is such a much stronger thing. That is a much more important thing. Have you ever been around people that you just loved, that everybody loves? There are those people that, you know, are just good people and you just can't help but love them. That's because they have a good spirit inside of them. Becky Millard passed away, a very dear friend of mine, almost like a mother, passed away a year ago. And I remember my mother saying about her, Becky is a beautiful woman. And it wasn't because of her physical looks. They weren't that great, to be honest. But she had a beautiful spirit about her. She had a beautiful spirit for all people. She taught elementary school, and I know, I saw her gather up little snotty-nosed kids and put them on her knee and hold them up to her and love her. And a lot of kids that didn't get that anywhere else at home or anywhere else, she loved them because she had a beautiful spirit about her. You see, we're more than a physical body. We have a spirit. You have more control over your spirit than you do over your body. That seems like an odd thing to say, but it's true. You have control much more over your spirit than you do over your body. As I said in the beginning, this body is going to age, it's going to get broken, and eventually I'm going to die. I may be taken captive by somebody that says, you have to be here and you have to do this and you have to go through this. I may be, this body may be abused by whatever, but my spirit is mine and I have control over it. I can make my spirit positive and good, or I can allow my spirit to go off and to be completely negative. I used to live in a little town in near Fort Smith, and there was a lady there outside of town who was just mean. I don't know of a better way to say it. She was just mean to everybody. Her neighbors didn't like her. No one in the community liked her. When you saw her coming, it was like, oh, Lord, you know, here we go. I've got to put up with her. And she's going to unload on you, and she's going to cuss you out more than likely, et cetera, et cetera. She died, and they didn't have a funeral. The funeral home took her body out, dug a hole, and buried her. There was no funeral. There was nobody that came. I had a man that ran a backhoe for me, and he was opening the grave, and he told me, he said, that's the saddest thing I've ever seen. No one from the community came out. Well, she had created that spirit. She had made that spirit, and now she had to live with that spirit and die with that spirit. You can control your spirit. So how do we do that? How do I make my spirit? First of all, pray. If you have a relationship with God, a prayer relationship where you are speaking regularly, He will guide you in changing your spirit to what it ought to be. Sometimes when we approach prayer, and I'm probably as guilty as anyone else, I have a tendency to want to say, Lord, give me this or that, or Lord, I need this, or Lord, help me. God, I've got this problem. This is that's going on there, whatever crisis, God, help me. Prayer is not just a tablet for me to tell God what I need. Prayer is a way for me to get my life in tune with what God wants. And I'll tell you something, if you will get yourself in tune with God, if you'll stay on your knees and get your life straight with God, the other things that you want, you either won't want them anymore or you'll find those needs met. It is amazing how when we get in tune with the will of God, our wants change. Our spirit will change. The first thing we do is pray. And the second is to study your Bible, to be involved in the Word of God. I love our Wednesday night Bible studies. And I have heard people remark more than once, it is great that we have a place that we can come to and we can ask questions. We put our tables in a big circle or rectangle and we go through the Bible verse by verse and you can ask questions and you can voice your opinion. We may or may not agree with it and you may or may not agree with my opinion or Colt's or whomever, but we have to look at it. We have to take our time and go through it. Attend that Bible study. Surround yourself with Christian people. You know, the people that you surround yourself with have a big impact on you. Probably like me, you can remember your parents saying, birds of a feather flock together. You know, I heard that a long time, and that really wasn't what I was wanting to hear, but my parents told me that anyway. The people you're around will have a big impact on what you are and what you do. Surround yourself with Christian people. Surround yourself with people that will hold you accountable, that will love you, that will pray with you, that will be there with you in this struggle. It will have a big impact on you. And then drop the bad habits. Here we go again, preacher. You're going to start meddling. Drop the foul language. There's no sense in it. I know you can't find anywhere in the Bible, and I have preached before, that no one is going to go to hell because they said one of the words that I don't like, even the F-bomb. I don't think God's going to say, wait, back there in 2021, you said this, that when you mash your hand or whatever, you're out. That's not the way this works. But what comes out of your mouth is a clear indication of what you are inside. Make sure you practice being the kind of person and using the kind of language that reflects well on God and that reflects well on your spirit. Stop gossiping. Gossip is a terrible thing. I know we all love to do it. And actually, I think men are worse than women. When we hear some juicy tidbit about somebody and they've done this or they've done that, boy, we want to spread that news as quickly as we can, right? We don't need to do that. When you hear something, instead of gossiping about them, pray for them. Get rid of jealousy, envy, grudges. If you'll get rid of all of those things, if you'll drop those bad habits spiritually, I promise you, you will grow. You will become a sweeter, better, stronger Christian. It will be for your good. Just as our bodies don't belong to us, neither does our spirit. My spirit, like yours, belongs to God. And as a member of this church, our spirits belong to the church. Whenever you say, I am a member of Family of Faith Church, I want people to think that must be a great place because some of the sweetest people that I know our members there, or go there. You reflect on God and on His church, and your spirit does. I was working on this building, and I've probably told this before, but it fits right here so well. There was a man, when we were first framing it up, it looked like a big warehouse or barn or something. It didn't look like a church at all. And this guy stopped, just being curious as to what we were doing here, what was going on. And he came in, foulest mouthed man I've ever seen. He called every name in the book in a derogatory way and used words that I hadn't heard of, actually. And he said, what is this anyway? And I said, it's a church and I'm the pastor. He did a 180 and started preaching. My grandpa was a preacher, and he could quote scripture, and I mean chapter and verse, and he was good. He cussed his way in, he preached his way out. Says volumes about that person's spirit, though, doesn't it, right? If we have the Spirit of God in us, if our spirits, our personal spirits, reflect God, then when we have no idea, people will say, that's a Christian, just by the way they talk, the way they act, the way they carry themselves. It is important for our spirit to reflect God. And finally, our soul. To him that is born again means that we were born spiritually. We reach up to God the Father and ask for faith and obedience to give us a spirit of righteousness. Robert Doohan and I have been discussing Dietrich Bonhoeffer recently, and I'm kind of rereading some of that. And one of his books is The Cost of Discipleship. In that book, he says, a person cannot believe in God without being obedient to God. And at the same time, we cannot be obedient to God without believing in Him. The two are married and they can't be separated. You can't say, I believe in God, but I'm disobedient. That is of no value. Even the devils believed and trembled, but it doesn't help them. And you can't go out and be obedient to God if you don't really believe in God. Following a prescribed set of laws or rules won't make you a Christian. It won't get you saved. You must both believe and be obedient at the same time, I believe that when we are obedient and when we believe, when we hear the call of God and we respond to that call, God forgives our sin and He makes us new spiritually, not physically, still the same physical person you were when you get up and leave the altar. But spiritually, we become a new creature. We are born again of the Spirit. And that is a fantastic and miraculous thing. If we are born of the Spirit, I pray God give each of us the grace to use our bodies and our spirits for His service to His kingdom. Growing up on the farm, and especially when I raised rice, I remember hearing people say, and this is kind of a farmer saying, we don't quit when we get tired. We quit when the job is done. And I'm going to tell you, sometimes on the farm you get absolutely exhausted and you feel like I can't go anymore. But you don't quit. You can't stop in the middle of some of the procedures you have to do. You have to work till the job is done, not till you get tired. As a Christian, we don't quit. This life is not something we can stop because we get tired. I know people burn out. I've heard that all my life, and I'm sure it happens. Get up, put on your big boy undies and deal with it. We have to get the job done. There are souls out there that will end up in eternal hell if we don't do our job. We have to do the work. I don't care how tired you are. What we do in this life with our body and with our spirit will not only impact our soul, but it will impact the souls of the people that we love. I want to see my family. I want to see my church family. I want to see my friends and the people I work with spend eternity in God's heaven. See, over there I won't be a pastor. I won't preach. There won't be anybody to reach out to and try to bring into Christ. They'll all be saved. There won't be any need to give pastoral advice and tell people to clean up both body and spirit because we will be there in the presence of God. My work will be done whenever this body gives out and I lay down and close my eyes in death. My work on earth will be done. But until that happens, you and I need to work as hard as we can possibly work for the kingdom of God. And when my life is over, when this body is used up, I want to go and enter the gates of heaven shouting. I want to go there and hear the God of the universe look at me and say, well done. You worked hard. You did what I asked you to do. Enter into my kingdom. I don't want to slip in with my head ducked and acting like I hope nobody sees me. I want to just kind of get in the edge. I want to enter the gates shouting. My dad died in 1970. My mother had a new car when he passed away. And Dad was a veteran and died as a result of his injuries in the war. And Mother heard about someone down the street, another man, a veteran, and she's needing to go to Little Rock to the hospital. And the hillbillies, the guys in Arkansas, didn't drive in Little Rock. That big city scared them to death. So Mother said, I'll take you. Well, she did, and it wasn't long till word got out that she would drive you to Little Rock to the VA hospital if you needed to go. And on a regular basis, Mother would drive some of the veterans to the VA hospital in Little Rock. And if their wives went, great, and if not, I had to ride with her. And I remember one of them saying, "Miss Harrell, you're putting an awful lot of miles on your new car." And she said, "I hope I wear it absolutely out taking veterans to the hospital. It's a small price for what you've done for us." I want to be that way about my Christian service. I hope I wear my body completely out in the service to Jesus. And when I walk through those gates, I hear Him say, "Well done, well done." I can have that, and so can you. When this life is over, and we hear God say, "Well done," it'll be worth it. I want our musicians to come. We're going to have a closing song, and I would invite anyone who needs to come to these altars to pray for whatever reason. I'll meet you here. We'll have prayer. I'm sure there are people here that'd be glad to pray with you. Our altars are open while we sing.